Last week when I spoke, I presented a sermon about walking worthy of our calling. And as I was preparing that message, I paused in thought at that fulcrum point of that word of. On one side, we are to walk worthy, but on the other side, we are to walk worthy of something, and that thing is the calling with which you are called. It becomes, if we are to walk worthy of something, it becomes very important that we understand what that something is. For example, if I want to be worthy of a bowl of ice cream, I know that I need to finish my dinner. That's it. So on one side, we have an action. On the other side, we have a result. But the question to consider is this, and that's what I want to get into today. And what is the substance of God's calling? Most importantly, the question we all need to ask ourselves is, what is my calling about? And that is the title of my sermonette today, My Calling. If you write down only one thing today that I will say, it should be this: God is working with me. That is what your calling is about. That is what my calling is about. God works with me. He works with me, he works with you, so that we can receive salvation and live forever in his family. That's what the substance of God's calling is about. We know what the ultimate goal of our calling is, and that is just that. The goal is to live eternally in God's family. However, the goal of a calling is different than the calling itself. What about our calling? What is that about? We understand what it's there to do, but it represents our relationship with God. God's calling is about how he works with us. What can I learn about my calling is a question we should all be thinking about. We should have an answer for, in fact. So today I want to draw your attention to three different attributes of our calling that will help us to understand it better and ultimately to walk worthy of that calling that we have. The first attribute is that your calling is precious. Your calling, and the second attribute, is that your calling is personal. And the third is that your calling is purposeful. Precious, personal, and purposeful. So the fact that God works with us, this first point of being precious, is important to look into. And now, consider this. Your calling, my calling, is freely given. It is a gift, something that we have done nothing of ourselves to receive, but yet it is extremely valuable. It is precious. Turn with me to Matthew 13, and we'll read verses 44 through 45. Here we will read two very concise parables. Matthew 13, beginning in verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all he had and bought it. Understanding the truth, as represented here by the treasure and the pearl, understanding the truth and having the opportunity to inherit the kingdom of God and live forever in the family of God, these things are equated with the very precious treasure and the very precious pearl. In these parables, what is the response? The response is to invest absolutely everything so that we can keep and maintain those things for ourselves. We invest everything in exchange for these treasures. That is, the truth, seeking the truth, understanding the truth of salvation, so that we can be part of His family. Once our minds are opened to the truth, and when we are called to understand, and we are drawn into God's family, we have to treat that understanding with honor and reverence. For us, we have to realize that the knowledge of the truth and the opportunity for salvation is immensely valuable. We can't put a price tag on it, but we know that it is far above the value of any other thing that we may have in this life. So the question is this: knowing the preciousness of our calling, do we treat our calling to understand the truth as something that is precious, or is it something that's disposable, something that's maybe neat to have, but less important for us than something else, another opportunity? The story of the disciples illustrates a beautiful example of honoring this value of God's calling in a proper way. I'll have you turn over to Luke 5, and I'm going to read verses 6 through 11, but I'll give you a little bit of the context of the story that's going on here. As you turn over to Luke 5 and verse 6, Peter and Jesus Christ are in a boat. Jesus Christ had just finished being out on the water, speaking to a great multitude, and he was all finished. And Jesus Christ says, "Hey, Peter, why don't you throw that fishing net over the side and catch some fish while you're at it?" Peter says, "I've been fishing all day. I haven't caught a thing. There's nothing out there." Jesus says, "Do it." So Peter does it, and that's where we see the response here. And he catches a lot. Luke 5, beginning in verse 6. "And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.'" So he realizes how reverent of a moment he is experiencing. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken, and so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid, for from now on you will catch men." There's the call to action. And what's the response? We read in the following sentence: "So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him." Right then and there, when Jesus offered these men, Peter, James, John, and apparently some others, when he offered them an opportunity, they took it. No hesitation is signified at all. All they had to do was get the boat to shore, and they were ready to go. They realized the precious opportunity that they had to be part of something big and important, both for themselves and for the people's lives that they would touch. In several other examples in the Bible, people had an opportunity to follow Christ, but chose to serve their other desires first. They failed that test. They chose to go the other direction. They did not treat their calling to follow Jesus as precious. We need to take the challenge of eliminating anything that gets in our way of following after Jesus Christ's example of righteous obedience and love. My calling is precious. That's the point we should be taking away from that. And we need to honor that calling as such. My calling is personal. God works with each one of us on an individual basis. Turn over to John 6 with me, and we'll read verses 44 through 45. John 6 and verse 44. No one can come to me, Jesus Christ said, unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day, as it is written in the prophets, and they shall be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. The definition for the Greek word for draws here adds some great context, which I love. The definition states this in the Greek. It means to draw, to drag off, metaphorically, to draw by inward power, to lead, impel. The same word, that word draw, is used elsewhere in the Bible, and it is used in the context of when Peter is dragging in fish nets full of fish to feed 5,000. That same word, to draw, is used when Paul was literally dragged out of the temple and into the marketplace by his adversaries. That is what it means to be drawn by God, in a metaphorical sense. This process of being drawn to God happens on an individual basis. He calls us one by one. And this should give us some idea of what it actually feels like to be called by God. A calling is something that cannot be ignored. It is more powerful than we are. And it will compel us to go in directions that are vastly different than directions that we may have been going previously. When we receive a calling, personally, we are moved to follow a direction that we cannot ignore. Also, being drawn or called is not something we can do ourselves. It's not something we can choose to do. It is something that God initiates in our life. It's personal. One of my favorite examples of this happens in the prophets. We read about how God called them to do his work. And I want to go over to Jeremiah to read about his experience. Turn with me to Jeremiah 1, and we'll read verses 4 through 8. Jeremiah 1, beginning in verse 4. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Then said I, "Ah," and this is Jeremiah speaking, "Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth." But the Lord said to me, "Do not say, 'I am a youth,' for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord." Jeremiah was known individually to God, even before he was born, in the womb. He was known. We read elsewhere in the Bible that God knows each one of us in that same way, before we were formed. In fact, we read that the number of our hairs are numbered and known by God. He knows each one of us by name. He knows every single last detail of our lives, many more details than we can know ourselves. When he calls us, when he draws us to him, he knows exactly who we are. He knows exactly why he's doing it. And we see the dialogue between these two here, between Jeremiah and God, and how personal this partnership is. The relationship that we have with God is a personal one too. Here we read that God knows him. God is working with Jeremiah to help him grow. He knows us in that same way. God says to us, "I know you. I want you in my family. I want you to fulfill my plans. God's calling is personal. My calling is personal. Not only does God know us individually, but he has a purpose for us. Our calling is purposeful. We may not have the role of being a prophet, as we see in Jeremiah, but we do have a part to play in the body of Christ. Turn with me to Romans 8, and we'll read verses 28 through 30. This one should be familiar to you. Romans 8, and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. These he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified. The progression of God's role in our lives is made very evident here. It begins by predestination, knowing, having that relationship of God with us before we even were born. As we read about in Jeremiah, he knows us very early before we live. And it progresses from there to living a life, to being called, to being drawn to him. And as we answer that call, it progresses to even further steps. But there's more to the purposefulness of our calling than just that end goal of becoming a member of God's family. As we read here, it's even before we reach that end goal, every single thing that happens in our lives that we experience works together to fulfill that ultimate purpose. We could say that everything that we experience today also has a purpose because we are called. We are tested over and over again until we can prove our willingness and ability to overcome. Our calling is not a capricious thing with God. It is deeply meaningful. It is purposeful. He wants each one of us individually for a specific reason. Even if we don't know what that specific reason is, God does. And we have to honor that and follow his lead. Seeing these three attributes of our calling, that it is precious, it is personal, and it is purposeful, it begs the question of what we are to do with it. For my final scripture, please turn over to 1 Timothy 4, and I'll read verses 14 through 15. First Timothy 4, verse 14. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. When I consider my calling, when you consider your calling, we need to honor the great gift that we have at our disposal and make sure that we do not neglect it. Just because it is freely given does not mean that it has no value. We need to acknowledge that it is that receiving a calling from God in this day and age is a tremendous privilege. It is extremely precious. Individually, God loves us. He loves you. He loves me. He knows us. And he has given us a purpose for living in this day and age and in our future to come. With this calling in our possession, we need to return that love that God has for us with love for our calling.